Okay.
Welcome, welcome to the podcast. Learning what you told me to go.
Yep, that's me. The jingle of the English podcast with Tommy is ringing again in your ears, and you're probably thinking, oh, I'm fed up of it. Really, just stop that fucking jingle going. Pardon language. But no, that is part of the jingle. Welcome to another episode of the English podcast with Tommy. Today, I'm doing something a little different. Something which I've always liked to do in my life, to put an American under the microscope. Today,
woohoo!
The man who puts the Angeles in Los Angeles, the legend in living legend, his name is Leon. Good afternoon to you, Leon.
Hey, brother. What's up going on, Teacher Tommy? How's it going, bud?
Oh, it's, you know, it's, as always, Leon, it's amazing. Thank you very much for joining me today. I feel like every time I see you, you're always looking like the coolest man on the planet.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment, bro. I try. Yeah.
Today, I'm looking into your amazing American accent. Your accent, with the way that you speak the English language. For regular listeners to the English podcast with Tommy, you'll recognize this has sort of a symmetrical dimension to it because I did brilliant British accents. And now we're going to talk about Americans and their accent. Leon, just first of all, where do you come from in the United States?
Okay, before we get into that, I just want to thank you, Teacher Tommy, for inviting me on your amazing podcast. And how honest do you want me to be, and how direct do you want me to be? I mean, because I'm your guest, so.
Be as direct and as honest as you like. I've always known the Americans to be direct in everything they do, from bombing Iraq and Afghanistan to helping the Ukrainians at the moment. So to be honest, everything I know the Americans to do has always been direct. Mm-hmm. So please be as direct as possible. Try and keep it as clean as possible with the language.
Okay.
You know, the language is we're not here to we're not here to use as many expletives as possible within 25 minutes. So as clean as possible, if you could, Leon.
Okay, all right, sure.
You're allowed to do anything you want on this episode, as it has your name in it. So,
all right. Yeah, anything that I say, anything that I'm going to say and things may not be agreeable or people with natives or American natives or anybody in particular, whether native or non-native. So this is strictly my opinion, what I say through my experience being a native in Los Angeles. So first off, based on your question, I mean, before doing that, I just want to say that there's over 160 dialects in the world. So imagine that. There are 30 major dialects in the United States. 30 major. And out of that 30 major, there's 8 main groups of the dialects in United States. And out of that 8 main groups, there's the West, there's the North Central, there's the Northern, there's the Midland, there's the Southern, there's the Northern New England, and then there's Hawaii. Those are your 8 main groups of the dialects. So we have a lot of types of accents. Now, I'm from Los Angeles. We have different types. We have you can say, now again, I'm only talking about natives. We have like the surfer dude or the valley type of accent. Valley type accent really doesn't exist. Surfers, it can vary. You know, some people tends to play like, oh, dude, I'm stoked. You know, check it out. You see the wave, I'm going to go crush it. You know, that kind of, but it doesn't really happen that way. You may encounter one person, two people out of that. Then you have the standard, as you can say, like the West Coast, California, we tend to silent the T's like that or thought or, you know, bat. We really don't say the T word. But the correct way is you can say the T word because, you know, East Coast, Midwest, all that, they say it with the T, even the Pacific Northwest. Then you have the Asian Americans, you have the African Americans, you know, gangster type things. You have the Chicano or the Cholo, they're natives, they're gangsters. That's where I fit in because you asked me about my particular accent because I grew up in a, I guess in a area that's below average income family. So I had people as friends in the gangs, but I also had people who are diverse. Like my best friend was American. He's white as you can be. He's a snowflake, you know, he's like white as snow, right? Blonde hair, blue eyes, American apple pie kind of thing. He was my best friend. But I also had a lot of Latino friends, mostly I can say Mexican friends. These are the ones that I hung out with. They're more like the gangsters, like the 18th Street. I really don't want to promote that because I'm not into promoting gangs, but you know, it's kind of gives you an idea of how my accent comes from. So that's where my kind of accent, LA accent came from, being in that kind of gang environment. But then as I grew up, I was with a lot of 90% white Americans, right? So I kind of blended in like a surfer dude. Hey, you know, what's up? Just kind of like surfer, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I ended up developing my own type of identity, right? So being as a professional and all that, yeah, I kind of got away. So I kind of developed my own kind of accent, as you can say. Yes. So it's kind of a mixture of maybe, you know, gangster type attitude, style, accent with kind of American in a way. So I have my own identity.
Okay. Let me just pick up one word there that I, you know, not being a native of the United States,
right?
The opposite end of the pond, the pond being the Atlantic Ocean. I come from the United Kingdom. Just quickly say the word attitude for me. Attitude.
Attitude.
Attitude. So, you know, there's not even a T in that. It's like a double B.
Yeah.
It's like right. double B.
Yes. But some people say attitude or attitude. I can't even say it with a T. Attitude. Yeah. I mean, some people in the East Coast, Midwest, again, Pacific Northwest may say it. But for in the South, in the California, it's attitude. Okay. I mean, that's how I say it. Yeah.
So what we're basically saying is that because you grew up with a varied section, cross-section of the LA population. You blended in, picked out certain elements of how people speak, whether it be the surfer guy who's always like chilled as anything, the gangsters that we don't want to promote, obviously, because gangsters are not exactly something that we promote on this podcast. But
exactly,
so you're taking elements of speech out of the different people you hung out with. Is that have I understood this correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. And if we were to say one characteristic of maybe the area that you grew up in, whether for example, in New Orleans you have the French Quarter, or in New York you have the Bronx, or you have Manhattan or Lower Manhattan or whatever it might be, is there like a specific so-called quarter that you grew up in? Does that exist in LA?
A
quarter, you know, like a certain district.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in different type of areas. To be honest with you, I mean, growing up, I was in a Latino area. There are some mixtures of white. Like I said, my best friend was white. I'd say that at that time, the population was about 70% Latino, right? 30% were white. And that's elementary, right? From elementary, I went to middle school. We ended up moving. So when I went to middle school, all of a sudden it was a flip. You know, I went to 70% Latino to 90% white Americans. Okay. So that's a big flip, right? Yeah. Maybe not even 90%. I would probably say 95% was white. So that was a big flip. You know, here I am looking like kind of like, you know, white shirt, black pants kind of thing. And all of a sudden everybody's, you know, dressed up surfer dude with Vans, hang tan, you know, shirts and all that. So I was like, you know, I was totally outcast, right? So I had to try and blend in with that and the style, the speakings and all that. So yeah, I went from there to high school. And when I got to high school, it was more kind of like 80% white, I would say. At least it was more variety. Maybe not even 80%. It probably 85% of white. So again, I was not involved with a lot of minorities, even though Los Angeles is a very diverse city, right? So I only started getting into other cultures when I worked. I mean, again, I never got involved with Asian Americans, right? Mm-hmm. I only got that when I ended up getting my first job, which is in a banking, and I ended up working for an Asian bank. Mm-hmm. And it was totally new for me, right? Hearing all these, you know, second language, bilingual language, you know, Mandarin, Cantonese. That was like kind of a surprise for me, because I never experienced that in real life, right? So that was kind of a culture shock for me, right? Because I've never heard it in real life. And then when I moved to an apartment where it was all African-American or Black. And that was like 90% of where I lived was Black in that apartment complex. Maybe not even 90%. I would probably say 95% of it. But these were like Black professionals, you know, that's in the area. And it's pretty close to Compton. So again, I grew up near a city in Compton area. So Compton is, you know, Dr. Dre, NWA, that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Where I lived and grew up is mostly in that part of the area, and also like next to Long Beach or North Long Beach. So I've seen that Watts in Watts, Compton. I forgot what other cities. There's like Norwalk, Southgate, that kind of stuff. Long Beach. So that was more of my area. I mean, here I am in a nice, safe district, but yet the surrounding areas is really terrible, as you can say, like the projects and stuff like that. So people come to our neighborhood and our city just to rob, like, you know, go to 7-Eleven stores and rob. And you know, I experienced that too, you know. So yeah, that's how it is. That's the life in Los Angeles. I didn't grow up in a rich environment like what you see on television, like Beverly Hills and where all the cash stuffs are, you know. Yeah, I mean that's the reality of Los Angeles, you know.
If you could put one, maybe two characteristics of the language, of the way that you speak the English language now, compared to maybe 10 years, maybe to when you lived in LA, what characteristics would you say that your speaking has picked up along the way? Because now you don't live anymore in the US, you now live in Brazil. So is there any characteristics that have maybe changed while you're speaking the English language now in Brazil, now in your home, in your home at in Brazil, compared to back in LA?
I would say I'm speaking less or hearing less English, because, you know, living in the United States, it's an English-speaking country, right? Wherever you go, whether in a grocery, all that, everything is in the English language. Here that I'm in Brazil now, I don't hear that. The only people I speak to is my wife, my daughter, my friends, and of course, whatever, you know, you in particular, and any Instagram kind of things, my, you know, fellow teachers, and a lot of televisions that I watch. Not, well, basically online, you know, whether it's a Netflix or, you know, this website that I use to watch my movies and things like that, news, Instagram too, because I follow a lot of Instagram, like my news and stuff like that. So these are the only things that I have in the English language. So whether that helps me out or it kind of deteriorates my English or something because I'm not hearing it 24/7, you know, I don't know. But for me, it's like, English is still my language. I don't speak Portuguese at this moment. I need to learn. So English is my language. So
yeah. I mean, because I've noticed, especially with those English speakers or native English speakers who have traveled around a bit, you know, who've traveled around a bit, they've noticed how their English has been influenced by the region or the area that they've lived in. Me living here almost 9 years in Germany, I noticed that there are words, for example, that I don't, you know, that I barely know in English, but I know what they mean. I know what the German word is. There are others who I've talked to who said that they've taken on a sort of accent, a very slight underlying accent, region that they've grown, or that they've lived in, whether it be someone living in Spain, or whether it be somewhere, whether it be, for example, a teacher who's lived in Malta, you know, a native from the United Kingdom living in Malta, which is also a native speaking English country, by the way. Let's not beat around the bush here about this, but would you say that certain districts of LA have certain, I mean, you said at the beginning that certain dudes, they speak in a really chilled out way. There's the areas where Black people live, where Afro-American Black people live, Latinos, et cetera, is, would you say that because you've seen these areas, these different areas of LA, that there was maybe a specific way of communicating with each other, you know, because like when we, for example, when I, you know, as a native Brit, when I hear, for example, people coming from the West Coast, take it, whether it be Stephen Stills, legendary guitarist from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, 1970s group, I always hear like there's an underlying, the way when he sings, there's always an underlying West Coast accent. Or Bill Crosby, for example, comes from, I believe, also comes from the West Coast, maybe comes from Texas. But there's always like, there's an underlying current of something in the background. You know, there's an underlying accent current in the background. Would you say that in the different districts that you walked into or that you lived in, that there would be an underlying current as such of an accent?
Yeah, there is. Speaking, let's say it's Los Angeles, because that's where I'm from and that's where I can talk about it. I mean, if you go from one cities to another cities, again, you'll see different accents because LA is so diverse, right? So as I mentioned to you, a lot of people tend to stay within their group. Like say, for example, Asian Americans or Latinos or African Americans or whites or Armenians or Thai people or Japanese people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they have a certain type of accents that they have that they distinguish because part of it, they bring it from their culture, from their family, right? Mm-hmm. So they end up developing their own type of maybe accent. But yeah, there is a West Coast accent there. If you go and travel to the East Coast, you know, people are going to identify my accent. They're going to say, oh, wow, you're not from here. You're not from around here. You're, where are you from? And then, you know, but they know that in the beginning, they say, where are you from? They're thinking that you're probably from another country. But when they start hearing you speak and how you, you know, speak with a slang word and informal, they know that you're American. But they're like, okay, what part of the state are you from? Then they start questioning. And then you say, oh, I'm from West Coast. I'm from LA. Oh, wow. You know, they're impressed. Same thing in the West Coast. If a person from the Bronx or from Brooklyn comes in, you know, whoa, you know, you got that heavy accent, or especially Boston, right? Yeah. The Bostonian accent. So we identify that. For me, I treat it more like kind of like a game, as you can say. It's like, I want to try and play that guessing game. Where are you from? What part of the city are you from? Are you from like Minnesota or Miami or Dallas, or, you know, so, and if you get it right, it's like, it's okay, cool. So I'm identifying these types of accents. So it's like, you know, like Brooklyn is like, you know, what you doing? You know, they have a certain things, different type of accent, you know,
I can hear while you're speaking, you've got like this sort of, it's like a hint of surfer dude in you with a hint an educated surfer dude. If I put a pinpoint on it, you know, so that's sort of like, it's a surfer dude who's trying to be cool, but you're an educated surfer dude because you worked in you've had an affluent back, you know, you've seen affluent backgrounds. It's not you lived in affluent backgrounds your whole life, obviously. I can hear it in the background. There's like a hint of a surfer dude there. He's trying to be cool. Uh-huh. Man, you're trying to be cool, right in the waves, man.
Right? Yeah, exactly, dude. Ride that wave.
Ride the wave, baby. Okay, so what we have here is, you know, like I said at the beginning, this for me is going to be interesting because I'm not a native from the United States. Mm. So with my uneducated British ears, I will be hearing probably I have heard different things. I've heard you having problems, or not problems, but the way that you pronounce the T's, for example, mm. are completely silent. Attitude. Mm. I've got an attitude. Mm. I'm not an attitude.
Yeah.
I've got an attitude.
Right.
Are there any other silent letters or any other letters that you pronounce in a different way? Whether it be a syllable that you guys pronounce differently, or something that you pronounce maybe a bit, there's an intonation difference. How would you say, for example, precise?
Precise. Yeah, so that's pretty easy. Yeah. Nice, like a lot of it is like in the T's. And plus, it also depends on the individual too, because a lot of people, we tend to eat our words. A lot of the natives, you know, we tend to eat our words. So it makes it harder for you to understand a person, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, right? Sometimes you have difficulty understanding him, right? Yeah, he eats his word, but it's the sound of his voice. But sometimes you just can't understand what he's saying because it seems like he's mumbling, right? Yeah. I have another friend, he tends to eat his word, and I'm a native, he's a native, and sometimes I can't even understand him because he eats his word. And sometimes he can't understand me because I eat my word. So again, sometimes, you know, you just have to say, what was that again? What'd you say? You know, but it's normal. Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
As long as we're able to communicate, have fun, that's what it's all about. You mentioned to me about you hear a bit of my surfers because of growing up in middle school and in high school. But at the same time, the education part, because I ended up going to school, college, and getting a professional job. And so you become more professional and you have that kind of way. And of course, being as an adult too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's who you are, right? That's growing up, it can't take away from you. So that's why I got like a bit of a chip on my shoulder because of what I've gone through. So, you know, that's how it is. I mean, growing up in a gang infested environment, you don't take crap, right? Or you don't take things from other people. And especially the people who's like the one who gets picked on, right?
Yeah.
The underdogs. Yeah. Underdogs, we tend to help out the underdogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I find it incredibly interesting listening to the way that you speak the English language. Because like you said, there is something there, but to a native Brit, it's pinpointing what it is that you've got that is, for my ears, you know. I found this episode to be incredibly eye-opening for myself, you know, because I have seen Beverly Hills, I have seen Baywatch, and I have seen these other series which are based in the Bay region, you know. So I have heard them, but for me to now put you on the spot. And to hear the way that you speak the English language, it's for me an incredibly interesting way of making our listeners realize there is not this so-called one color, one accent way of speaking the English language. And me and you, we've done a lot of this myth busting. We've done a lot of this talking about different ways of immersing yourself in the English language, et cetera, et cetera. That's for another day, but what I find interesting is listening carefully to what you say. There is a specific difference between the way that you speak the English language and the way that I speak the English language. Obviously, from where I come from, I was brought up in a way where we speak as close as possible to what the Queen speaks. Where you come from, you're as far away from the Queen as you could possibly get within the English speaking world, because the Queen would never say attitude, man. I've got an attitude. She would say, hey, I've got an
attitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Right.
So even I can't say it in the way that the Queen would speak. Leon, how can we find you on Instagram? How can we find you on the world, on the WWE World Wide Web?
Yeah. Before I mention that to you, there's some things that I want to touch on. You mentioned about the Bay Area. I mean, the Bay Area people is totally different of how we speak. They're more like, I don't want to say it kind of a standard, but it's still a silent T. I mean, again, we have a different type of diverse in the Southern California versus the Northern California, northern part of California. So that's one thing. The second thing too, I mean, I spoke to a Native American, Asian American. I don't know if he was actually born in United States, or maybe he came at a young age, maybe 3 or 5 years old. I don't remember, but he spoke like the standard English. And he even came to me because I was hosting an event, and he said, like, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from LA. And he said, well, you don't sound like you're from LA. You have this accent, and just like you couldn't distinguish it. It's like it's a mix because of where I grew up and who I grew up with, right? Which yeah. developed in a different, unique type of accent, right? So for him, he wasn't accustomed to it. And he says, where are you from? And I said, LA. He says, really? I mean, and he started going into it. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Who do you hang out with? Who did you grow up with? And he says, well, you know, and he was kind of embarrassed. And he says, mostly Asian, my friends are Asian American. And I didn't even have to say anything. He just like put himself on the spot and says, yeah. And I said, well, I grew up with a lot of Latinos and this and that. So, but they're Americans and this and that. So he said, yeah, you know what? I think I need to diverse myself. Because I said, a lot of people here, as you know, in Los Angeles, they don't hang out with different type of groups. They tend to stay in their own, you know, ethnicity or their race, right? Yeah. So he says, yeah, you have a point there. I do need to get exposed and hang out with more people like Latinos and Black Americans and things like that. Because he basically just hangs out with his own kind, which is Asian American. And for me, I kind of not into that kind of thing. I believe that you're in Los Angeles, where it's a diverse melting pot in the city. You got to expose, you got to get yourself involved in a culture and different type of people, not just be isolated, right? So that's one thing I wanted to say. Yeah, as far as my handle, I can be found on English Teacher Leon on Instagram. I really, that's the only social media I get involved in. I have YouTube, which is the same thing, but I really don't post anything there. Everything that I post is on Instagram, and I do mostly every day on my storylines. On my post, not every day, because, you know, I got more important things, because people come and go and my account is private, and I'm only teaching the people who really wants to learn. I'm not into these casual learners, you know. Casual learners, you know, want to follow, unfollow, and follow you again. Yeah, if you're one of these people, go somebody else. I'm not your English teacher. I'm only interested in the true learners who wants to learn about my culture and about the what I can produce in the English language, because everything on my page is about education. You'll learn something. It's not something that, you know, I'm just popping in a picture and showing my how I'm living in Brazil. No, you're going to learn something every day.
Of course.
What I post.
Important to know, you know, it's important to have context with your learning. You know, whatever mm-hmm. context is king. You know, it's not
yeah.
Not just a picture of the Amazon rainforest. No. Mm-hmm. It's got to have something contextual about it. Yeah. You know? It's a very good point that you put there.
And one thing too, everything that I teach on my Instagram is not necessarily what I teach on the private or on my classes. So the things that you see on my Instagram is not what I teach in, you know, in my real life. So
say that quite a lot of your stories, I have to say quite a lot of those stories that you post up are hilarious. There's some there's some really hilarious right. stuff that yeah. post up in your story. So
thanks, bro.
I've seen you dance. I've seen Leon dancing like it's 1980, you know, and that is that's a sight for sore eyes, especially if you don't know this man. Go follow him. We'll drop the handle into the comments section below this episode. Leon, I'd like to thank you very much, baby.
Thank you, brother.
I just dropped that baby in there. Do you guys down in LA use the word baby quite a
yeah,
lot?
Yeah, we use baby. Yeah, I mean, like when something is happy, yeah, baby, all right, cool, dude.
All right,
yeah,
baby.
So, yeah.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah, we use baby. I use baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, baby, what's up? What's going on? yeah. So I don't get into that kind of lingo anymore. So
if I hear people saying, yo, baby, what's going on? I'm like, wait, me? You're talking to me? Yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
Like I feel like Robert De Niro in The Taxi Driver. You talking to me?
It's like, exactly.
Talking to me here. But no, Leon, baby, it's been a pleasure dissecting and bisecting your your brilliant, amazing American accent on this episode.
Thank you, brother.
And you did it. Thank you, bro. You have now got the chance with this episode, or you've had the chance with this episode, to learn something different. That there is not only one accent in the city of Los Angeles. No. There are more accents than people in, well, you know, I say that, but there probably aren't. But there are lots of accents in the city of Los Angeles. And Beverly Hills and Baywatch and these other series, they are just, how can I say, an ideal version of what LA should look like when LA looks completely different in a positive way. So you have learned something here. I've learned something here. And I'd like to say you'll join me once again for another episode of the English Podcast with Tommy. It's goodbye from Leon in Brazil.
And one thing too that I have to say, because you brought up about Hollywood, what you watch on Hollywood does not necessarily mean it's everything, it's a reality. So keep that in mind. It's just entertainment. So
it's only entertainment, but we love it. We love it because that's the problem. We love it too much.
Yes, right.
We'll try, buddy. Let's try this one. It's goodbye from Neon in Brazil.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it, brother. And I'll see you till I see you. Yeah.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.
All right, brother. Ciao. See ya.